Hosea chapter 13, verses 9 through 10. You are destroyed, Israel, because you are against me, against your helper. Where is your king that he may save you? Where are your rulers in all your towns of whom you said, give me a king and princes? I want to share this morning from the subject, a lesson in trouble. A lesson in trouble. The earth has reached a pivotal point in this pandemic, with vaccines being distributed at a slower pace than anticipated. Billions of people are hoping their help will arrive in the nick of time. The idea of being vaccinated has garnered a range of emotions. For some, there is fear, anxiety, and skepticism. For some, it cannot come quick enough, while others are somewhere in the middle. However, very few are considering that maybe, just maybe, God is trying to get our attention. All around us, we see trouble. Businesses are in trouble. Family finances are in trouble. Our health and safety are in trouble. Our social norms are in trouble. We miss popping in to see our parents and grandparents. We miss family gatherings. We miss hanging out with the boys. We miss our day at the mall with the girls. We miss Friday restaurant meals. We miss seeing the smiles on the faces of people we work with if we still have a job. And wonder of wonders, our kids miss going to school. Imagine that. Worst of all, we miss those we have lost along the way to this dreadful virus. So what is it that our God, who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, is trying to teach us? The text says, O Israel, you are destroyed because you are against me, against your helper. The prophet Hosea is sharing God's message to a wayward and disobedient Israel. Their suffering was tied directly to their disobedience, but they did not know it. They should have known it. They were dishonest in their business dealings, boastful and insensitive to their own sins. They were being disloyal to their covenant relationship with God, and yet they failed to see the correlation between their sin and their suffering. My brothers and sisters, they were in trouble. They thought their ill-gotten Wall Street wealth would hide their sin. Those who ravaged our nation capital now are begging the current president, who has 3 days left in office, hallelujah, for a get out of jail free card or a pardon for their actions. Trouble is a sign, and it is not to be ignored. And though the trouble we are experiencing is worldwide, trouble can come at any time, to any person, in any place. So let us examine it under a spiritual microscope to see what we can learn from trouble. First thing our text helps us to understand is trouble is real. Our planet is in trouble right now. The pandemic shows no mercy. But even though it has affected all of us in some way, large or small, many are still in denial that there is anything wrong. Too many run around unmasked, oblivious to the danger that lurks everywhere, while hundreds or even thousands die daily. They are content to play Russian roulette with their health and well-being. They would rather test God than be obedient and trust God. Remember, Jesus said, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. That was what Hosea was dealing with. Israel had broken covenant relationship with God. The Israelites were going about their daily lives as though nothing was wrong, content to play the same game of roulette with God's grace and mercy. It is a shame that God had to use Hosea to tell Israel anything. A shame that God had to use his most piercing tones to convince Israel of the trouble brought about by sin. They should have already recognized the breach, but their habitual corruption and tragic ignorance blinded her to her fate. God's pleading is heard in Hosea's attempt to convince Israel to wake up before it was too late. There's nothing more tragic than a man who is wretched, who's blind and miserable, and he does not know it. He thinks he's fine, but he has slowly separated himself from his help, who is God. It's time to wake up to the reality that the world is in trouble. Not only is trouble real, but we must understand that sin is the reason for trouble. Yes, sin. Sin creeps forward one degree at a time. The consequences of sin creep up on us, like the story of the frog in a hot pot of water. The story goes, there was a frog who fell into a pot of hot water. The water was still on a gas stove. The frog still did not try to jump out of the pot. Instead, just stayed in. As the temperature of the water started to rise, the frog managed to adjust its body temperature accordingly. As the water started to reach the boiling point, the frog was no longer able to keep up and manage its body temperature according to the water temperature. The frog tried to jump out of the pot, but with water temperature reaching its boiling point, the frog was not able to bear it and could not make it. What was the reason that a frog could not make it? Will you blame the hot water for it? Here's the point. The frog could not make it due to its own inability to decide when it had to jump out. We all need to adjust according to the situations, but there are times when we need to face the situation and take the appropriate action when you have the strength to do so before it is too late. My brothers and sisters, I want to encourage us to walk out before we need to jump. Israel was like the frog, was boiled in sin and never noticed the pot was getting hotter and hotter. They did not face the situation and take the appropriate action. Hosea was warning her that if she did not wake up, she would end up cooked. Sin can seem painless. For example, listen to this progression of sin. I'm just taking one piece of candy at the market. They won't miss it. I'm just adding 15 minutes to my time card. I'm worth it. I'm just deducting the maximum charity cash contribution on my tax return because I don't need to provide proof of my donations. And before you know it, you are being audited and fined and worse. And you cry. How did this happen to me? How? Really? You have done this to yourself and you ask why? Another example, I was growing up in Jersey City, New Jersey at 167 Clinton Avenue, 07304. I was warned as a child, a person who will steal a ball will eventually steal a bike and will eventually steal a Benz. Take note, sin can seem painless, but it is progressive. One thing can easily lead to another. Israel's destruction was imminent. She fancied herself to be her own help in times of trouble. She aligned herself with the enemy, Assyria. In her folly, she thought that if she could partner with Assyria to the north, she could handle Egypt to the south. But the theologian McLaren writes that circumstances are never the cause of our trouble. They just give us an excuse for rebellion against our helper, who is God. The truth was that Israel had alienated herself from the will of God. And God is saying the same thing to us. He said to Israel more than 2,500 years ago, he says, "You have destroyed yourself. But in me is your help." It is time for us to become conscious to the cause of our trouble. If nothing more, this global pandemic should be a wake-up call. It is long overdue for us to realize the scope of sin's trouble. It is time for us to stop blaming God and start taking responsibility for our global sins. to do our part to normalize the moral decency of God's word once again. And we must strive to emulate it and follow it. My brothers and sisters, love is trying to wake us up. But finally, there is the Redeemer of the trouble. Despite Israel's disobedience, God was still offering her the means to turn from her wicked ways. Her self-imposed rebellion against God had all but destroyed her, and yet God's fervent desire to help had not been moved. God was still the Ancient of Days who created man in his image and breathed into man his breath of life. Trouble is self-inflicted. Trouble will still happen, but our survival depends in whom we place our trust. All our trouble can be swept away if we allow God to ransom us from the power of the grave. Even death will not win. The Apostle Paul knew it. That is why he said, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" God is our help. All the guilt is ours, but all the help is his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. If we enter into his gates and shut the door, he will be our help forever. God revealed himself as our great help when he sacrificed his son Jesus Christ for our sins. Christ in us has the power to conquer and cast out sin, to heal our troubles and to soothe our sorrows. Where does your help come from? All my help comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. David knew where his help came from. He said, "My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth." The Apostle John knew where his help came from. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Peter the Rock knew where his help came from. At Pentecost, he said, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." The Apostle Paul knew where his help came from. He said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." In these troubled times, do you know where your help comes from? During these challenging days in our lives, do you know where your help comes from? All my help comes from the Lord. Christ is the hope of the world. He is the head of this church. He is the peace in times of trouble. He is joy in the midst of sorrow. He is rest when we are weary. He is the Savior of the world. Sin made us ugly, but Christ can make us beautiful. Sin made us greedy, but Christ can make us generous. Sin made us hateful, but Christ can make us loving. Sin made us corrupt, but Christ can make us pure. Sin made us fearful, but Christ can make us peaceful. Sin made us weak, but Christ can make us strong. Sin made us victims, but Christ can make us victorious, because Christ has the power to be our protector. He has the power to be our provider. He has the power to be our anchor, and he has the power to be our healer. He has the power to be our burden bearer. He has the power to be our good shepherd. He has the power to be a faithful friend, and he has the power to be our redeemer. Thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is your help. A lesson in trouble. The word of God for the people of God. Bless the name of our God. Maybe there's someone on this call this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior. I want to encourage you to repeat this prayer with me. Dear Lord, I acknowledge that you, Jesus, are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross, that your blood was shed for my sins, and that you arose from the grave and conquered death. I understand that I was born a sinner and that I have sinned by disobeying your commandments. I ask you now, Lord, to forgive me of these sins. Please change my heart to be like yours, loving and full of forgiveness. Help me to obey your teachings as recorded in the Bible. Bring people who can help me on this new path. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Thank you for saving me from death and giving me new life. In Jesus' name, amen. My brothers and sisters, if you believe this prayer that you have just prayed by faith, you are saved. I want to encourage you that if you are trying to turn your life over and walk closer to God, I encourage you to reach out to myself or our deacons that we might further talk with you about your transition into the family of God. Amen.